Welcome to another episode of the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jessica, your host, and I invite you to join in and listen to a conversation with an amazing entrepreneur who has leaned into their passion and is igniting their life and the life of others. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today, I have with me Renee Pacer-Paul of Soaring Pathways. Renee is another one of the amazing guests that I got to meet through Michelle Abraham's Podapalooza. And I'm just so excited because she's also a Bring the Joy girl. So we're going to talk all about how you can bring the joy even through some of the most difficult times of your life. So Renee, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I am so happy to be here and so honored to be speaking with you, Jessica.
Yeah, I know we're going to go into, you know, maybe a touchy subject for some people, but I love the message that you have. So I'm hoping that if anybody, you know, listening does get triggered in any way, that you really will see this as it's more of a positive opportunity to grow as opposed to feeling like it's not going to be negative. We're going to be talking all about the positive and how you can be uplifted regardless of the situations that you've been through. So Renee, can you please share with everybody who you are and what you do?
Yes. Well, I had something, as you mentioned, as a trigger for some people. It was an incredible trigger for me. A number of years ago, I had a stranger break into my home in the middle of the night. He woke me from a sound sleep and put a knife at my throat and told me not to scream or he'll kill me. I did scream and I fought with him. He stabbed me. I stopped fighting with him and then he raped me. The reason I do what I do and I share what I share is because of all the things that happened after that incident. There was the trip to the emergency room. And after the tests were done and the questions were answered and the evidence was gathered, I was finally allowed to use the bathroom. And after I, you know, went, I couldn't figure out how to flush the toilet. I'm looking for a knob or a lever or a button, anything. And finally, I see a pedal on the floor. So I stepped on it and this huge spray of water just sloshed all over me. And I started laughing. I laughed so long and so hard that a nurse rushed in because she thought I had lost it. And you know what? I had in that moment, and being able to laugh was such a release at that point that I'd lost the horror of everything that I'd gone through just a few hours before. I knew it wasn't going to last forever at that point, but I also knew that if I could laugh in the face of what had happened, I was going to end up being okay. The other thing I did that night was say two mantras the whole time I was there in the emergency room. The first one was, and you'll have to excuse my language here, I'm not going to let this bastard ruin my life. The second one was, could we speed this up, please? Because I have a plane to catch. I was scheduled for a 2-week trip to Europe that early that afternoon. And I made it. I got on that plane and I made that flight. And that's part of the reason my company is called Soaring Pathways, is because doing that, focusing on something that was part of my normal life and something that was able to remove me from what had just happened, was a huge part of what was healing for me. It also ended up, I believe, saving my life in more ways than one, because the man who broke in that first night came back while I was on the trip. Because I was on the trip, I wasn't there.
Wow. Oh, I'm having chills a little bit right now. I'm just having a moment listening to this. Like Whew, yeah, it's wow. Sorry, I'm just sort of reeling in this story. Like, it's amazing how, in that instance, like, the universe just knew that, you know, just to take you out of that situation, and knew that you needed to be somewhere else.
So I'll fast forward things a little bit for you. I have people often ask me, what was the reason that I ended up doing the work that I do, that I work with sexual violence survivors to help them realize that there is more than the surviving piece, that there can be a movement into joy, into thriving, into a full life, one that sexual violence or other trauma does not define for you. And that moment was listening to a talk show on the way home from what was then my job. And this was a number of years ago. The topic of the day was focused around the fact that a longtime serial rapist had been convicted. Now, this was not the man who attacked me, who was also a serial rapist, but this was someone who had actually terrorized our local community for a couple of decades. I heard a woman come on this show, and we'll just call her Mary for the sake of a name. And this is what I heard her say: "I can't ever love anyone. I can't ever feel safe. I can't have a job. I can't." After a while, all I could hear was this repetition of, "I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't." And then she said, "Because I was raped 10, and my brain's waiting to hear, well, maybe 10 days ago, possibly 10 weeks ago, or probably maybe even 10 months ago. But she said, because I was raped 10 years ago. And at this point, I'm yelling at the radio as if she can hear me. Yes, you can. Because all these things she said she couldn't have or be or do, that was now my life, fast forward 10 years from when this happened to me. That was my moment of clarity, that there are so many people out there who need to hear that when you experience something this traumatic, it doesn't have to define you. You can still have a life that's filled with love and laughter and joy. And you can become a thriver and not just remain a victim or even a survivor."
Love that. I am not a fan of feeling like a victim. I believe that people get victimized, but I don't believe people have to stay a victim. And so I love that this is what you help people do, right? Because that's a huge shift. And I think too often people tend to almost want to stay stuck in a place that they don't realize they can get out of. It's like the comfort zone. It's this, like, it's horrible, but it's become my identity and it's where I want to be. And it helps me connect with other people. Right. And people stay stuck in their misery because they don't have somebody like yourself who can say to them, "No, you don't have to stay there." So, oh my goodness, I love so much, because I've spoken to people and they're adamant that, you know, no, I identify as a victim, and they insist that that's where they want to be. And now, oh, sorry, I love it. I love it so much, because I personally, luckily, have not experienced anything like that. So therefore, my opinion tends to be less credible to somebody who has. So I love the fact that you, having gone through it yourself, can now act as a spokesperson or a voice for people that have been there, and yet also still feel that you do not have to remain stuck in this state of being a victim. So thank you so much for doing what you do, first and foremost. So
I'd like to say it's my pleasure, but honestly, I'd be happy if I didn't ever have to do it again.
Right.
unfortunately, I think we're at least a few years away from that happening.
Yeah, this is, it might be a little tough to see a silver lining or a good thing, right? Yeah. So, okay, so talk to me now about like the people that come to you. I mean, they must obviously have gotten to the point where they do believe that they don't need to stay there. So what is that like? What is that kind of conversation like? Like, have they hit another, say, roadblock in their life? Have they had some other kind of sort of awakening that made them realize that they actually don't have to remain in that state of feeling like a victim?
I think a great way to give a frame to that question is to talk to you about one of the first people that I helped with this work. She heard me introduce myself at a Toastmaster meeting when we were just going around the room talking about ourselves and what we do. And as is the case so many times when I'm able to be somewhere in person, she came to me and disclosed afterwards, but not in much detail. She asked me, really, the focus was much more on me rather than her. And she asked me a number of different questions and told me she wanted to hire me as a coach. So we did a number of sessions, and in one of them, she ended up asking me why I hadn't helped her figure out where she wanted to move. I was really puzzled, as I see on your face, by that question. So we ended up delving into that quite a bit more. What it unearthed is that she was still living in the home where she ended up telling me that as a five-year-old, she went to that home one day where her grandfather was, and she didn't ever remember smiling after that day. We unpacked slowly and carefully what had happened while she was there. This was the home she was still living in now, even though the individual who had caused this pain for her wasn't alive anymore. So did she need to move? Absolutely. But she also needed to figure out the reasons why. And those were not at all evident to her when we began our journey. So it is indeed a journey when you look at where you start and where you end up. And there's no one right way to get there, which is why I call my company Soaring Pathways, because everyone's journey takes a different amount of time and has different ways of getting there. But the important thing to realize is that you can get there, and the way out is not always hard. Some of it is, no doubt, but a lot of it can be filled with a lot of things that can help you release what actually is locked up inside. And that's what's causing you to feel the pain and eating away at you like a poison, until you crack that open, reveal it, and are able to remove it.
So are you willing to share sort of some of the ways that you help people to be open to doing that? Like, because I know that it would be like such a tender spot to touch, right? So when you work with somebody, how do you shift them into, I guess, like believing it and willing to go there? Because I think a lot of times people also want to just shut it down. I know my son, totally different, not the same, but he went through grief counseling when he was very young, and he stopped wanting to go because he said, all they want me to do is talk about it, Mom. I don't want to keep talking about it. So how do you get beyond the just talking about it part?
Oh, terrific question. And I did go through a period of time where I did do the talking about it. I went for counseling after what happened to me, and it was beneficial. And actually, I got to a point where I thought, I'm healed. I don't need this anymore. But little things kept cropping up for me that it took me a while to realize. And that realization didn't happen until I found myself at a a creativity conference. And it was in a workshop there where I was engrossed in some artwork and in a different type of talking that released some things that hadn't come to the fore before, that I realized this is the kind of healing that would complete things for me, that would make an expansion of what just the talking did, because the talking, while it was great, was not enough. So over the years, I've expanded my toolkit, as they say, of things. And so I am now a laughter yoga leader. And yes, laughter yoga is an actual thing. So I use laughter as an absolute magical tool for helping to heal. I'm also a facilitator of Lego strategic play. So yes, so using Legos, all those little things that you, perhaps as a kid you love to move around with your hands. Yeah, there's ways that your body and your hands can give you messages that aren't accessible through just thoughts and words. So those are just two of the methods that I use with people. There's a lot of artwork. There's a lot of dancing, and no formal training is required, and nobody has to see you. But these are things that get into your body to let what needs to come out of your body.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love this laughter yoga. I've actually, believe it or not, I have attended a laughter yoga class. And you're right. It is so amazing. Like, even when you pretend to laugh, you end up laughing, right? Like, it's like you can't yes. stop it. And especially if you're with other people, it's infectious and everybody's so contagious. Roaring. So good. Yes.
And the whole idea behind laughter yoga, it's the series of exercises that just you start to laugh and you can actually force it. So it's like that idea of fake it till you make it. But the great part is your body doesn't know the difference. All you're doing is soaking in all those benefits that you get from laughing. And even if you start like kind of fake it laughing, it turns into the real thing because it is contagious even when you do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. So now what you were saying about that client that you had where she said she hadn't remembered smiling since that day when she was five. So I'm thinking that if you can, you know, like using the play and the laughter and the dancing and stuff, start to allow people to see that they do have a choice in how they want to feel. Is that really the key to the work that you're doing here then?
Yes. Choice is a huge word because as you mentioned before, when you make a choice to remain a victim, and you maybe don't make that choice to remain a survivor necessarily all the time, but you do have a choice when the opportunity presents itself to open up that door and explore how there can be more and how you can bring in joy and laughter and love into a life that leaves you absolutely fulfilled.
I was talking to somebody recently and they said something to me that you can't be happy and sad or happy and depressed or happy and angry at the same time. So even just to get a reprieve momentarily, I would imagine, from feeling those negative, the grief, the sadness, the anger, any of those feelings that may come up when you're thinking about so past traumas and whatnot, even just having that momentary reprieve must be life-changing. Like just letting them have a moment where they can feel something good must be so empowering for them.
And that's exactly that moment that I shared with you that I had in the emergency room. It was so altering for me at that point. It was such an incredible release. And I really distinctly remember feeling like, because I could laugh, I know I'm going to end up being okay.
Mm. And I would imagine that really would be the message that you're trying to send people, right? Is that I actually can. Right? Like this person doesn't have to take everything away from me. Like I can still be the person that I was before to some degree, like as much as I choose to be, right?
Yeah. One of the keynotes that I give a talk is called Create the Life You Want When You Lost the Life You Had. So it's an acknowledgement that is everything going to go back to exactly the way it was? No. And I think if you try to force that, it's another way of locking that those toxins and that trauma inside of you. But to realize that, you know, we all go through stuff and a lot of it isn't good. But the choices that you end up making as a result of that, that's where you end up. That's what ends up defining you and not what this other person did to you.
Yeah. And so when I introduced you initially, one of the reasons that we connected was because you talk about joy. And I love that, you know, that's the alternative. It's like, how do you find more joy? Yes, you had something horrible happen to you, but that doesn't mean that you can't also have joy, right? I actually had a conversation with somebody recently and we talked about and versus or, and too often we feel like we have to pick one or the other. And so we live a life of or, and I love that what you're sharing with people is that same and theory. It's like, yes, I can have experienced this in my life, and I can still enjoy myself.
Oh, yes. Well, Jessica, that's right out of improv. Another one of my tools. it's always about the yes and.
Oh, I love it.
Taking what's there and where do you go with it and making it work.
Yeah. Because I would imagine that your intention is never to say, forget about what happened, just lock it away. That's not the idea here. Right. So a lot of people listening might think, well, if I just focus on joy, am I ignoring the fact that I had this happen to me? And I'm seeing you shake your head. So I know that that is not, you know, not what you're talking about. So how do you help people understand and adopt that and or yes and attitude? So how do you work with somebody that way, like one who maybe thinks that you have to pick one? I can't be happy if this happened to me. So how do you help them recognize that, yeah, you can?
Well, you mentioned, I think it was your son, you said, went through grief counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I can make an analogy to that. When someone passes that you loved, and that's a tremendous loss, right? But it doesn't mean that that's the end of your life. So you're still going to have the grief. You're going to acknowledge that loss, but you're also going to focus on what's going to happen with your life from that point on. And the knowing, where the analogy doesn't fit here, in that instance, probably that person wouldn't want you to spend your life grieving and in sorrow. You know, they would want to know that you were important to them and you made an impact, but for the what's next. And here for this situation, it would be the opposite. You don't want to let that person have that power over you to say, okay, now you're the focus of my life because of what you did to me. It's yes, this happened. Yes, I'm acknowledging it. And so the yes and now this is what I'm going to do. Because one of the realizations I came up with is that I ended up being one of the lucky people who had the person that committed this end up being caught and sentenced and put in jail. That doesn't happen to hardly anyone in almost all cases. It's such a rare occurrence that someone is arrested at all. And then if they get arrested, if they get, if there's any kind of proceedings that go, and then if they actually get convicted and then actually end up spending any time behind bars. And yet for the person it happened to, if you can't let go of that, you're the one who ends up in prison instead of the person who did it to you.
Yeah, that's powerful. Yeah, it's like what is that saying? I don't know if it's Buddha or who it said, but drinking, hanging on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting your enemy to die. They don't care. Exactly. They didn't care when it happened. They certainly don't care now. It's only you that's basically drinking the poison and choosing to stay in those negative feelings. So yeah, the way that you phrase that though is really powerful, you know, for people to recognize that, yeah, you're the one choosing to stay in a prison if you can't move forward from this. Wonderful. Oh my goodness. So talk to me more about joy. I love joy. So tell me, what does joy mean to you, Renee?
Well, you know, whenever I'm really down and I need a boost, I bring out this picture.
Aww.
This is my son when he was about 6 months old.
Oh, what a happy face.
His name is Ray, and I've always called him my ray of sunshine. Aww. And he really was aptly named. He was almost always smiling as a baby. I couldn't figure out parents that I knew who couldn't get pictures done when they took their kids for the photographer. And they said, well, we have to come back. He wouldn't smile. I'm like, really? Really? This guy smiles all the time. Like, so what I absolutely love about this though, is this is a frame with a recording on it. So it's from when he was about this age, and I don't know how well this is going to pick up, but
oh my goodness, that is the best.
Release a bad mood that I'm in when I look at this picture and I play that recording. So if you can find things that do that for you, certain songs, if I'm in like a down mood or I can't get myself, I just turn on, you know, like, hello, Alexa. I don't want to say too loud, it might turn on. and I've got a playlist. And at the top of the list is the song Happy. I can't not dance when I hear that song. And my mood just changes. So finding things that do that for you. For some people, it could be playing with a pet. For others, it can be, you know, taking a walk outside, and I strongly encourage that too, like finding ways to connect with nature, another hugely powerful and needed healing process. So there's make a list for yourself. If you can do that, like, so when it hits, when the, you know, the feelings hit and you're like, you can just go to that list and like, oh yeah, I should just turn on the radio and dance to that song. Something that can shift that mood for you, and it can make all the difference.
And I love that what you said about making a list. So one of the things that I believe very strongly in is the power of decision. But even more powerful than decision is pre-deciding, so that when you are faced with a situation, you don't have to make the decision anymore because you've already decided ahead of time that when I feel like this, I'm going to do this. So one of the things that you just said that I love is like making a list of all the things that make you feel good. And so at any given time, you've got so many tools available to you, right? So.
Absolutely. I also am a huge Muppet fan.
Okay.
And I have recordings. I have DVDs of the Muppet Show from the first three seasons.
That's awesome.
You know, all I have to do is pull out an episode of The Swedish Chef and I'm, you know, I'm there. I'm,
Manamana.
Well, I'm not there anymore with him. Yeah. Work.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I mean, that's totally like, if you put on, what's that song, that Manamana, do, 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 like, I can't not sing to that. My body doesn't ever sit still for that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, it's brilliant. You know, and I love it too, because it really is all about just making choices and taking control, right? It's like, I can make choices. I can decide for myself what I want to do and how I want to react and how I want to show up and how I want to feel, right? And I think so many people forget about that. Having experienced trauma or not, people need to adopt this tool.
I totally agree.
Awesome. So, okay. So if somebody wanted to reach out and have a conversation with you and just understand more about how they could work with you, where would somebody go to do that? How would they connect with you?
Well, I'm available on most of the standard sources. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook, and I have a website that I hope will be working well very soon. And right now, my email is my company name. So it's easy. It's soaringpathways@gmail.com.
Perfect. Okay. So do you have, are there any programs or anything that you're offering right now, or is really just going to your website the best way to learn more about how somebody could work with you?
I have done a lot of one-on-one work, but I am very close to having a group coaching program.
Nice.
That I'm going to be starting soon. So it's the perfect time to connect with me and explore if that's a great fit for you.
Wonderful. Okay. Before I let you go, I have to ask all my guests, if you could give somebody who's ready to take their business to the next level one piece of advice, what would you suggest?
I would say, make sure that you look at the things that you really like to do, as opposed to the things that you feel like you have to do, and at least pinpoint one or more things that actually bring you joy. Because if you can't find something in the work that you're doing that is joyful for you, you're going to be miserable, and so will everybody else who comes in contact with you. And yes, if you can't find just that one thing, find something else, because that's not a good place for you to be.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, it's interesting. A couple of years ago, I did an exercise, and anybody who's listens to this podcast on a regular basis knows this story, but I did an exercise where it's called a 7 levels deep exercise. And it just walks you through basically uncovering your why at a values level of why you do what you do. And mine was joy. That was what came up for me. And so that is my North Star. Everything that I do in my business, if it doesn't bring me joy, it doesn't happen. And there's not a single day that I work in my business that I'm not having a blast. So even like today, what have we been here for from like 8 a.m. in this morning? So we're still going to keep on going straight till 6. That's a long day. And yet I'm having an absolute blast. I'm meeting the most amazing people like Renee. And so I can totally speak to your point, is that if you don't love what you're doing, just stop it. So Renee, are there any final words, anything else that you'd like for, you know, somebody who is struggling and they have yet to find ways to feel joy in their life after going through something?
Yeah. So you know what? The dollar store is a great place. Go get some crayons and just draw. I love this little activity. Draw how you feel right now and draw how you would like to feel. Look at, and it doesn't have to make sense to anybody but you, and you don't have to spend a lot of time on it, and you can be Picasso or Monet or anywhere in between. It doesn't matter, but just let what that tells you give you some information about what you can do next.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. It was really wonderful meeting you. And again, I'm just, I'm in awe of, you know, the work that you do and the way that you have been able to just recognize what's really needed for people, you know, and that that you are a resource to help people start to bring more joy back into their lives, and that it doesn't have to be difficult, that it really is just a choice, and accepting that hand that's reached out to them, and all they need to do is just take it and start moving towards finding more of that joy and peace and laughter and play that will make them just finally get back to, you know, an amazing life that they can have. So thank you so much for the work that you do.
And for having me for this opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure.